Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Hey, everybody. This is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you got something you want to talk to me about on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. Welcome to another members episode. We got a good one for you. The boys are back in town. They were scouring the internet, digging deep. They went, I don't know if it's the dark web or something, I don't know, but they went somewhere on the internet that had a lot of cobwebs and people haven't been in the room for years, and they found a document that it was stamped CIA and they brought it to the surface and they want to talk to me about it. And I'm like, boys, this better not get me arrested or in trouble. Nobody knocking on my door. So with that groundwork laid, boys, what are you getting me into?
Well, thanks, Tony, for the introduction. What a way to bring us in. I actually think we found the document through our CIA source, Derek Alencia.
Ooh, how you doing, Derek? CIA.
Emphasis on the last three letters, CIA.
I mean, it's funny. This came out. I was a year old when this, so it's possible that I was infiltrated at that point.
We knew it. You were born into it.
I had hesitations when I hired him, and now I have more hesitations.
Your secret's not safe with us now.
Well, Tony, I think you're the one that actually brought this to our attention a few weeks back.
You said what?
An AI was actually looking for certain documents, and it was linked to like shutting humans down.
That's why Tony wanted to talk about this. Yes.
Yeah.
Because all great stories start with AI.
I would agree.
I would agree, but I don't think the people like hearing me talk about AI so much.
Maybe we should just make it, instead of artificial intelligence, we'll do the original AI, Allen Iverson.
There you go. I like it. The answer. That's the proper answer. You like what I did there?
Yeah.
This is not an AI episode. It is a CIA classified, declassified 1983 document that has weird things like homunculus in it.
Yeah. So it's actually really interesting. Like, you brought it to our attention for the live specifically to talk about what the article you had read about the AI and how it had been able to, how it believed it would be able to control a human based off of reading this document, right? And when Derek and I heard that, we were like, okay, that's interesting, right? And then we started reading it and we were like, oh my gosh, dude, this document is like full of everything we talk about and more, and it connects it all together. And it's like, it goes from like our conversations with Joseph and Franco about the Hill, goes to some of the other episodes that we've had, like Escaping Monroe Institute, all tied together under a CIA research paper, trying to make it about a scientific method of how to replicate this. Crazy.
And what's wild to me is I think we're going to see this moving forward a lot more with the scientific angle of how they can control the mind, how they can control time, space through this meditation practices. So I think we're going to see a lot more of this coming out in the future with what they're undisclosing and pushing out. So
yeah, for sure. So Tony, how much do you know about the Monroe Institute?
I know enough that I don't want to attend.
That's a fair point.
I'm not enrolling anytime soon. And every time something juicy pops up on the internet, it usually has a tie to the Monroe Institute. And then I'm like, of course it has a tie to the Monroe Institute. Like that one guy that we talked to a few weeks ago, I guess it was probably about a month or two ago now that we had a member episode, and he went to the Monroe Institute, I think in Arizona is where it was.
Yep.
And he had this like wild experience where, like, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, I think somewhere along the lines, he shifted like realms or realities. And it was like one of those things where we had James from the Desert Portal Death Cult episode, where like he physically went somewhere and somehow there was a shift that happened and everything got weird. And James found himself running through a desert to escape. Well, this guy basically does the same thing. He's literally running away from this like evil cult people. And it was all tied to the Monroe Institute. Don't sue me, Monroe Institute. I don't know. It's just what I was told.
Yeah, he had listened to, it's for reference for everybody, it's episode 842, He Had to Escape the Monroe Institute. So if you're listening to this and you're a member, you probably have listened to it already. But he wasn't even like, I don't even remember if he was a serious attender or anything like that, but he had the tapes, right? Okay, yeah. So he had the tapes too, and he was listening to them at home, and like something came into his house, and he was like, it was crazy. But that's like the type of experience that you end up hearing from people all the time from the Monroe Institute, people who practice the gateway tapes, all of that stuff, because the intention of it is to like remove yourself from your body. Your consciousness is now basically astral projecting, and you obviously encounter things that are not good.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Not from this dimension, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps, mayhaps. Yeah. But for those of you who don't know anything about the Monroe Institute, it was founded by Robert Monroe. He was a radio businessman. So he had business he had radio stations and a bunch of other things that he was doing. And he had an out-of-body experience where one night he felt like he was vibrating. He had, you know, in his current terms, he had frequencies flowing through his body, and his consciousness separated from his body. And when he turned around and looked at his body, he was terrified and then realized that he was actually curious in his fear and decided to start experimenting further with frequencies and audio waves and all of this stuff, and founded the Institute in 1958. This Institute was founded in 71, and he began his research in 58. That's the order. Sorry.
So he accidentally found himself out of his body?
Correct. Yeah, he had an out of body experience where he said that before he saw himself outside of his body, he was vibrating, like his muscles, his nerves, everything was vibrating.
And when he saw himself outside his body, it terrified him.
Right. So he was induced with fear at that point, but
what happened at that point? Do you know? Did he stay outside of his body?
He was still outside of his body. Like, he didn't just snap back.
Like somebody else?
Yes. Yeah. But like,
did you ever tell that story?
Yeah. You've told my story.
Oh, well, there you go. I was trying to set you up.
Yeah.
If anybody doesn't know, let me tell the story.
But like, I wasn't, when I had my out of body experience, I wasn't afraid. Like, it freaked me out at first, but it wasn't like fear. It was just like unknowing, like, what the heck is happening? I can tell it's not me doing this thing, but I'm still doing it. So anyway, with him, it was like fear is what he said. Like, he was terrified, and then he was curious after that. And like, we know that there are encounters that people have that they're terrified or that they have a fear when they start to experience something like that. And a lot of times there's some way that they're being lured out of their body or that there's like, you know, something, you know, drawing them to a location. Like when I experienced my out of body experience, I was walking towards the door in my room. And you know that people say as soon as you walk out the door, like you never know what's going to happen. Like you could, you know, cutting the silver cord, whatever you're going to encounter, whatever entity. But there's always something that lures you. There's a curiosity about the environment or something like that. And some people experience fear. So for him, this just caused a curiosity in how that even happened and what does that mean. And so he began researching and then he founded the Institute. And the Institute is something that we've talked about many times, but one of their main things that they research or that they have been implementing and have, in this instance, the CIA, you mentioned other three-letter agencies have talked about this. They want to understand how to replicate this, how to replicate what the Gateway tapes, which is the main thing that the Monroe Institute is really known for our side of the sphere. They want to replicate it. They want to figure out how to replicate it scientifically and remove all of the like hearsay things that are, you know, conjecture by people like us and any religious person, you know, because they want to remove anything that could be considered like spiritual or supernatural in a sense.
Even though they make very clear parallels in the paper all across the board to the absolute, Kundalini, to like deep meditation practices.
Do you think there's sorry to cut you off there, but I'm going to cut you off. Do you think that there's a connection to that idea to the more growing in popularity idea that people will say today's magic is tomorrow's science? So that they're trying to cut off any type of supernatural understanding for the logistical understanding of what's happening in the moment.
That's a great question. And I think that's 100% true. Like what they have here is energy as the universe itself that we can connect to, that we can naturally sync our bodies in frequency to the fullness of the universe and then gain access of knowledge from the other side. So like 100%, like they're going to dismantle the woo away from the mysticism of religion and turn it into like very technical and scientific terms. So people will be really comfortable understanding that this is how the process is. It's very natural. And this whole state is actually replicatable. You can repurpose it again. And so it's like, it's fully within the realms of science where like, if you're trying to astral project, if you're trying to like meditate, like you can't always guarantee performance in those things in the spiritual realm. This, they're saying that you can begin to move in those realms where you can replicate it. So yeah, they're getting rid of the connotations of spiritualism and then replacing it. What I think was this is going to be the future theology.
Sounds safe.
Oh, yeah, totally. Leave your future theology in the hands of the government. It'll work out well.
Especially when they're outside of time space.
Yeah, which we might get into later. I mean, this document, like when you sent it to us and you talked to us about it, and like it's crazy how the article and what we saw just with it saying that AI read this and yada, yada, yada. I was like, all right, that seems like interesting, but not deep. This is like wild. It goes through the holograms, which we'll talk about. It goes through time, space, consciousness, energy, different, you know, religious ways that you can conjure this. You know, meditation, transcendental meditation. You know, what else am I? I'm missing a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch so much stuff.
Packed.
Left brain, right brain, hypnosis,
hemisync.
So anyway, I say all that because we're not going to be able to get through everything in this document. It's 29 pages, 25 pages, something like that, full of like academic
dry
academic speak. And to an extent, your brain will get, you know, so tired of trying to hear this. Talk about left brain, right brain. Your left brain's going to shut down. Your right brain's going to be like, you know, let me just find something else to do. but it's very dense. And so we're going to try and cover, at least get through like some of the terminologies of certain things. Derek has been diligent in trying to get a more concise breakdown of terms in order for everybody to understand as best as possible. And we'll see if we can maybe show you the parallels that we've seen within the document that are very, very similar to, if you just switch out a word, clearly they're referencing some things that we know in the supernatural and the second heaven, what's going on, at least from the experiences that have been shared on the show. So I say, let's jump from page one and just give them like a little bit of a breakdown as to what was attempting to be done with this document. So I know, what's the guy's name that wrote this? Do you remember?
No.
No. Okay.
No, they mentioned the other gentleman here.
This is a U.S. Army commander, I believe, from 1983. And he's writing this in attempt to do everything that we just talked about to try and clarify how they can actually utilize the gateway experience. And one of the things I highlighted at the very beginning, he breaks it down. He's trying to give you a more immediate definition or breakdown of what he's going to express in this document. And I highlighted this because I was like, okay, so this is what he's trying to say. He's, what is it? I needed to do enough supporting research and analysis to fully understand how and why the process works. Speaking of the gateway experience and the frequencies and all of this. Frankly, sir, that proved to be an extremely involved and difficult business. I was like, you're telling me. I've read this now. And I'm like, yes, this man was right. He's tying like all this stuff together. Oh, yeah. Very difficult business. But it just made me laugh. So he then goes on to say that he found it necessary to delve into various sources for information concerning quantum mechanics, which Derek also looked into quantum mechanics after reading this. And I'm actually curious to know what you actually came up with that, because that might help preface some of the stuff we're going to talk about for people to understand.
You want me to get into it right now?
Yeah, just go right into it.
Sure. So the aspect of the quantum is really interesting. They're talking about like energy fields. So they make an analogy of like throwing pebbles in the water, right? And if you throw three pebbles and all the ripples that it makes, if you could like freeze it instantaneously, we don't see the actual matter that was in motion. We see the effects of the energy left over. And so that's kind of the idea of like the quantum, the hologram realm, is that they're able to identify the leftover of energy that's not in play. It's kind of like the motion of the universe, like that's left over. It's not necessarily the thing in motion, right? It's the aspect that's left over. And So they're able to like in a fraction of time, freeze it and then read it with lasers to actually compute it into knowledge. So like, that's kind of like the hologram. It's like, it's this creation from the other side, this energy of the motion of matter that they capture in a moment of time.
Right. And so like this guy brings up the hologram throughout in attempt to explain kind of like what they're talking about, the universe that we see, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the physical side of it. So like one small part of that ripple in the water that's frozen in time, if you extract that small part, that little pixel or whatever in a picture, That itself will be blurry and you won't be able to really see the part of the whole. But if you put it back into the entirety of the image, the entirety of the hologram, you'll actually be able to see what's being done there, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of like the light bulb, like in the old cartoons, right? Where like, boom, there's a light bulb. Like the actual creation of the light bulb in your eye, in your mind is essentially the hologram. That aspect of the imagination is the function of the hologram of your left and right brains working together.
Right. So it's interesting because quantum mechanics, which is what he was saying he needed to research, operates in a similar way, at least according to what you were surmising when it came to that, where they have this like, nobody really knows how they come up with answers with it, correct from what I was understanding from you. And then they take a reading, and the way they take the reading is with a laser. Or
I don't even know the fullness of it. I know it's like super cold. They have to like capture it and it degrades so quickly. So I think they're only after like this one moment of time to read the data that's presented of electrons moving. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do you even measure an electron? It weighs nothing.
Yeah.
But this is where it explains it. It's not the electron moving. It's the remnant
of it.
Of what's not there that they read. The ripple.
And so, like, basically, so they're saying, like, they're trying to extract a momentary piece of information that's, like, subject to whatever conditions are being brought up. And it still doesn't give a full picture of what's actually out there, basically. Right. And that's this hologram.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.